Thank you. Дружки кетті.
Чей
вітан?
Чей
вітан? Каші раджа.
Каші
раджа.
Ча.
Also.
Also.
Вірівад.
Вірівад.
Very powerful.
Very powerful.
Куруджіт.
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 Кунті Боджа.
Кунті Боджа.
Кунті Боджа.
Кунті
Боджа.
Ча.
Сайбія.
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 Ча.
Ча. Нарапунгава.
Нарапунгава.
Hero in the human society.
Hero in the human society.
Yudhamanya.
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 Cha.
Cha.
And. Vikranta.
Vikranta.
Mighty.
Mighty.
Uttamauja.
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 Cha. And. Viryavan.
Viryavan.
Very powerful.
Very powerful.
Subhadraha.
Subhadraha.
The sons of Subhadra.
The sons of Subhadra.
Draupadeya.
Draupadeya.
The sons of Draupadi.
The sons of Draupadi.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Sarve.
Sarve.
All. Eva.
Eva.
Satyandri.
Maharataha.
Great chariot fighters.
Great chariot fighters.
Translation. But by his divine grace, as a Bhaktivinoda Swami profile. Here, in this army, are many heroic bowmen equal to fighting to Bhima and Arjuna. Great fighters like Yudhan, Virat, and Draupada. There are also great heroic, powerful fighters like Drushtaketu, Chekitan, Kashi Raja, Gurujit, Kunti Bhoj, and Shaivya. There are mighty Yudhamanyu, the very powerful Uttamauja, the son of Subhadra and sons of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters. And the purport of the first verse, Srila Prabhupada is telling that even though Dushtadamna was not a very important obstacle in the face of Duryodhana's very great power in the military art, there are many others who were causes of fears. They are mentioned by Duryodhana as great stumbling blocks on the path of victory, because each and every one of them was as formidable as Bhima and Arjuna. He knew the strength of Bhima and Arjuna, and thus he compared the others with them. Om Ajnati Virandhasya Jnananjana Shalabhaya Chakshur Mulitan Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamadhyam Svavataditam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Prabhatakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Saranatam Arthantam Kamsadipam Sagadatam Savadutam Parijana Saitamarishkashaitanthadevam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Saranat Lalita Shri Vishakantamascha E Krishna Karmasindho Vinabandho Gopeshopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapatam Chan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Krishna Namaste Devi Namami Shri Priya Vancha Kalpata Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayva Chata Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Atra Sura Maheshra Shadi Mahatyan Samayati Yudhano Viratascha Dripatascha Maharatha. Here in this army are many heroic women equal to in fighting to be manager. Great fighters like Yudhan, Virat, and Draupada. In the beginning of this narration of Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra is starting with Mamaka and Pandu. mind in Pandus. Means it's a total material conception. And it is just like, you know, the self is expanding himself into I and mind. So naturally there will be a distinction that material world will be distinguished in every aspect of physical existence, whether it is strength, knowledge, the opulence, as well as all other three spiritual opulences of Lord Krishna. They will be manifested, and the categorization would be, you know, I, me and mine. So this is all generated by sex, means completely enviousness of Lord Krishna. And people start distinguishing. Right? Many times, you know, those who are externally oriented devotees, they start distinguishing between my guru and your guru. That is material conception, bodily conception. And it is an anartha. If we keep the anartha, then we will have a fight. Better fight with our own anartha, that is the spiritual life. Right? In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Striyo Kunsan Maithuni Bhavam Etat Tayor Ahur Radaya Granthis Ata Griha Kshetra Apta Vittaihi Janasya Mohoyam Aham Bhameti. This fight is the cause of virtuous sex life. Many a times, all the wars are indicated towards the central point of a woman. Alexander, you know, and Cleopatra, they are compared, you know. So Draupadi is becoming an apparent cause for the war of this Kurukshetra. They say, in Mahabharata, they quote, it is all due to Draupadi. But spiritually speaking, Draupadi was a pure devotee who is a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So devotees do not take that apparent material reason of war. So the same reasoning is being applied by both Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana in explanation about the strength, the so-called strength. But we learnt right in the very first verse that when the Dhritarashtra accidentally utters the word dharmakshetre, kurukshetre, Srila Prabhupada catches up the point. He is fearful for the outcome. You know, he is sure that he will be defeated. But yet, what is preventing to keep him on and on and committing grievous offenses against his nephews? It's a very important point to understand that this is Mamaka and Pandava. So Duryodhana is of the same product. He was spiritually blind too. And he is simply dependent upon the external strength of the material energy of the Lord. That the Lord has how many akshoni phalanxes with him? And Duryodhana wanted that, to fight on his behalf, and Krishna approved that. But still, what is going to be victorious in this great epic Mahabharata? That inherent fear is there in every materialist. They will become speculative. They are not sure what will be the outcome. Yet their unsatiable desires to lord it over the material nature is so great that they are impelled by the moods to carry on their nefarious desires, even though they know intrinsically, but they can't prevent themselves. Intrinsically they know, but they can't prevent themselves. Here, Srila Prabhupada indicates that out of fear, even an unimportant person like Dushyanta, who is not a much obstacle for the Kurus, yet he is being named. They did not have much fear, but yet they are telling them, these are the great warriors, they are formidable, like Bhima and Arjuna. They knew Bhima and Arjuna for certain, because they were living together in animosity. They were never forgetting these devotees, but they never forget their devotion. They do not remember their devotion at all, and it doesn't come in the picture. Never it will be ever recognized by Duryodhana that even though Krishna is favorable to them, but yet he is obsessed and he insulted Krishna. So the description is given on the basis of the bodily conception. They are fearful. Even though he wants to describe the great warriors in his palace, but yet he mentions this so-called enemies first, even though spiritually they are not enemies. For the Pandavas, they never thought even morally that they are their enemies, what to speak of spiritually. A devotee did not think anybody to be his enemy. But yet enemies are there, uninvited. They will be there, and we have to face it. We have to face them. Without invitation or provocation, they will want to, physically create problems. They want to exterminate the devotees. It is so much externally obsessed by that they are impelled by the modes of material nature. And they cannot prevent themselves. So material nature is so strong with the three modes of material nature. They are so strong that knowingly we commit sinful activities. But intrinsically, we remain fearful of unknown, inevitable outcome. We are ready to take a punishment, but we are so much enviously, carrying out this so-called unsatiable desires, even though we know it by reading, not by realization. So this is a great mystery in the struggle for existence. Unless and until they surrender to Lord Krishna, it is extremely difficult to win over the war. Everybody is compelled to fight within themselves or outside as their expanded selves. So those who are dwelling simply on their expanded selves, they are going to divide, means Mamaka and Pandavas. Who is mine? Now who is on my side? Who can fulfill my desires? Who can, protect me? This is the compelling situation for those who are spiritually blind. They might know everything morally, but they think those principles we can also apply ourselves and will come out victorious. But that shows an intrinsic animosity with the inevitable force of time, which is controlled by Krishna, and it is directly intervened in the lives of devotees. So to all these factors they become envious and they want to work against. Spiritual life will not bring in this. Another practical example of mamaka means mind and such expansions are always contriving to politics to preserve their so-called false identity, false ego. They want to preserve by hook or crook games, politics. We didn't see Pandavas will be ever playing politics because they were solely dependent, soul surrendered to Lord Krishna. They were on totally spiritual side, but sometimes, according to the dissatisfaction created by the moral goodness, instead of giving pleasure, but the opposite party is not qualified to be compassionate on, Arjuna and Bhima gets frustrated too. They are in moral goodness. They are so benevolent. They don't want to fight. They consider these are our brothers, but they never consider as our in the sense of physical nature only. They never consider. So even though they are in moral goodness, but the moral goodness does not give full satisfaction. Full satisfaction is yayatma suprasiddhati savaitun sampavudharmu yato bhakti ratakshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasiddhati. Ahaituki is very important that Pandavas have to live their lives on the ahaituki basis. Yudhishthira was knowing this ahaituki. Therefore, one can become an instrument in the service of Krishna. So devotees have to have ahaituki bhakti. And while Duryodhana have a lot of hetus, a lot of causes to fight for. So this description is centered around that knowingly that these leaders, the generals in the army of the Pandavas, they are very formidable force. And they are equal in the strength of being Arjuna. So that fear was coming out. The fear was coming out. And we can imagine he must be having a chill in his body when he is citing these names. Could it be? But to falsely mitigate, he is going to describe his strength to his spiritual master Dronacharya, and we will see he was trying to flatter him. The completely opposite picture. He is here fearful, but and the other verses that will come, he is trying to flatter his spiritual master. So we see an unnecessary fight, we call struggle for existence, is happening with those who are living at the cost of all the anarthas. They are living just to fulfill their anarthas. So they become externally oriented, even though they have been taught by the same guru, but yet, because he is externally situated, he is bahirmukha jeev. He is not an antarmukhi jeev. He is not introspective. If a devotee is introspective, then he will start repenting upon whatever his flaws and faults and misdeeds were. So, he doesn't have to go and beg forgiveness, but rather he will repair all these faults within by meditating and committing himself, because now he is awake. So, in that relation, a very important point is also coming, that how could Duryodhan lead into this kind of war system and never was pacified and fought several wars incognito also with the Pandavas. He was hell-bent upon destroying them. So similarly, a person who is also impelled by the three modes of material nature ends up committing sinful activities. Right? And these sinful activities will never be absorbed with so-called repentance. So-called repentance. On the side of the Kaurava, we will see that they never felt repentant. So, after Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam starts with this question of Parikshit Maharaj. He asked so many questions to Sukadeva Goswami. And one was important, that even after committing sinful activities, habitually, how come no prayaschitam means atonement, even so-called recommended atonement, not able to correct the situation, and you know, he ends up doing the same mistake over and over again. Prabhupada said that think that every Saturday people go to the church and beg forgiveness from the priest as if their sins are absolved, but right from Sunday onwards they engage in the same activity which are sinful in nature. So it is similar. Knowingly a thief is going to be punished, yet he does not give up stealing habit. It's compulsive, ingrained as their second nature, what they call it. So this question was asked. So we see in the life of a devotee and the non-devotee, this is a very important point, that a devotee who is advancing due to the removal of the anarthas, he will be able to get purified, but he took that process of purification which is going to awaken his sleeping soul. So right from the core, he will those who are chanting, they will be automatically given impetus to refrain from sinful activities. So they will not commit. To give up meat, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. It is so much ingrained in the Western mind, but yet, you know, because the process of perfect atonement that awakens the sleeping soul is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That it takes its own course, in which all these problems of the material nature that makes people envious and so forth, everything will subside. You know, he will be qualified to understand, you know, the pure devotional service and the importance of it by the mercy of the Holy Name, because he has become now, you know, envious from the root cause. Otherwise, whatever enviousness, little enviousness is remaining, it's due to the impelling of this mode of ignorance, you know, and one who is resorting to mode of ignorance means false ego, then he will continue more or less extent frequently or infrequent incidents of this anarthas. That they have to subside. You know, we see, otherwise, even in description, we can sense this important factor that Srila Prabhupada mentions, that those dharma was not a very important obstacle in the face of Dronacharya's very great power in the military art. There were many others who were causes of fear. But how come Duryodhana has to utter his name? Dhrishtadyumna. So, these real causes of their fear were the really great stumbling blocks on the path of victory, because they were equal to Bhima and Arjuna. He has experienced the strength of Bhima and Arjuna, so he can imagine, you know, when they started that, Dronacharya, are you listening? These are the most important foes in our in their army. We have to concentrate, and it's all dependent upon you. And in the previous verse, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Duryodhana is a great diplomat. He's talking diplomatically, means materially, obsessed by material modes. Even though Dronacharya was a Brahman, he knows Krishna. He knows Krishna. Who is he? But yet, he doesn't go on his own to the surrendering aspect to Lord Krishna, but understanding desire of Lord Krishna. This is another way to surrender. He knows the desire of Krishna. Because he's a Brahmana, he knows the Supreme Brahman. You know? And he had great respect for Lord Krishna. But somehow or another, he's on the side of Duryodhana. It's not a matter of equal strength. There can never be equal strength between the two. Even though we see there is an apparent physical arrangement to make both of them equal. Krishna awarded all the phalanxes of his army that he brought from Dwarka to Duryodhana, as if there was an imbalance. But we see there is always some spiritual greatness. You can't compare the material with spiritual. You can't balance it up. So, we see the diplomacy that he is trying to make Dronacharya responsible for the victory or loss. Because Dronacharya was made the commander, because he was the teacher, right? And he tells, you also taught Drupad and you have been very fond of him, but he is in opposite line. So he also made a sarcastic remark upon Dronacharya's liking. It means he is shrewd, he can insult his Acharya, but he is trying to flatter him. So politics involves so many materially frustrating factors. These are the factors which will make us frustrated. In spiritual life, we have to overcome that. We have to overcome that. We can't criticize the devotees. Otherwise, Dronacharya is a spiritual master. Even the physically, he was so great. He did not teach only on the basis of martial arts, but they were also devotees, and they knew Krishna and devotion. He was prepared to lay his life, because Krishna desired him to be an opposite part, and he has to get out. Dronacharya, knowing Lord Krishna's situation, do you think he will be affected by his son Aswatthama killed, so he would be totally disheartened and will not fight? No. So, against the political playing around, sometimes flattering, sometimes criticizing, even the spiritual master, he is losing his entire progress. The guy is, Duryodhana is going to be doomed. So, he is creating fear by his own misbehavior. He is creating fear by his own misbehavior. Why he would be fearful only to this? He should be fearful if he would have been a devotee by his own fault finding and criticizing devotees. Offenses is offenses towards the devotee. He should be more fearful. So we see the spiritual aspect and material aspect. We can always say the Pandavas were living to the spiritual dependency of Lord Krishna's mercy all the time. And that's what we are reminded. But this political situation is created by so witty Duryodhan, but that is of false ego origin. So intrinsically he is fearful, but egoistically he is not going to bend down to so-called fear. Such talks are always make them hypocrites. That whatever they talk, they do not mean. You know, they do not mean. And neither it would be in their so-called practice. So, we see the political-minded people are always jealousy, lie, cheat the innocent public, you know, while the devotees will be very, very careful in dealing with people. They will want to give themselves as a servant, not to become master. Glory to Allah. So these two distinctions are coming in materially obsessed people, those who are about to die of fear. Fear brings death. Fear is one of the powerless papabhama. So bhaya means fear, and it is leading to death. So even such words are given that they are sure to be defeated. Hypocrisy is sure to be defeated. Politics is sure to be defeated. Only spiritual, upkeep or management will become victorious. This is called sarva-bhuta-hiti-rata. Every living entity becomes a recipient of the mercy of Lord Shri Krishna, and one should manage. A householder is ideal householder is a spiritual manager within their house. Within their house. And he himself is said to be keeping himself detached from the entanglement of nitty-gritty talks of relatives and this and that. He's always... those who are going to control the nation, they are so-called diplomatic diplomacy, means politics. Diplomacy too. Diplomat means one who has two mouths. Dye, cloth, two different types of cloths they have. Plan A and plan B. You know? If plan A fails, plan B will be working. Like that. So, duplicitous. So anyway, we see in Prabhupada's purport, you know, that it has been pre-decided by examining the nature of the Pandavas, and because they kept Krishna on their side, they will be victorious. Whoever keeps Krishna on their side will be victorious. Jayatam Panduputraam Yasyan Pakshe Janardana. Lord Krishna because he was on the side of the Pandavas, the victory was certain. So in this way, we can understand these descriptions are not description of the warriors, they are not simply descriptions, but all that he is speaking reveals his heart. Duryodhana is trying to reveal his heart. What is exactly where he is up to? Right? So these four other personalities are, there are also great heroic powerful fighters like Drushtaketu, Chekitan, Kashiraja, Purujit, Kunti Bhoj, and Shaibya. Then there are mighty Yudhamanyu, the very powerful Uttamoja, the son of Subhadra and son of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters. Anybody has any questions?
Explain briefly how in mode of goodness one can be frustrated.
Can
we have here?
Can you take the microphone?
Yes.
We have a large audience here.
Hello, Vishnuvat. As Arjuna and Pandavas, they are in the mode of goodness, still they become frustrated. No? Explain it.
Right. They will. Not giving their constitutional position up, they were working within. They are desiring benevolence and benefit to their cousins. They never spoke ill, nothing. But yet, from time to time, again and again, the tribulations that they had to face. So, Arjun and Bhima wanted to counteract through a mode of goodness, benevolence to them, and yet they were reciprocated with malice. Right? So, Satogun is not going to work out. So then they will be forced by the mode of passion to fight. What I mean, that mode of goodness is not going to counteract the animosity of the enemies. Transcendence will. So there is a great war, and the great strength is available of the superior transcendental energy in devotional service to fight out. That's available. Mode of goodness can make you, self-satisfied. But you can't extend this satisfaction to your kinsmen. They'll be dissatisfied always. They'll be dissatisfied. My father was a benevolent person. He was the first one to go out of country in the family. So others were hoping that we will be all taken care of. Right? So he tried, but he could never satisfy anybody. You know? He was disappointed. So the idea is that more of goodness, as far as you are concerned, it is going to help you to overcome the moral, the effect of moral passion and ignorance. Right? But you have to take up pure devotional service. You have to continue if you are doing. Tadara-jastamo-bhava-kamalu-bhadas-che-cheta-itar-anamittam-sthitam-sattve-prasidati-pat-evam-prasanna-manasu-bhagvat-bhakti-yogatara. In mode of goodness, we have to keep on conducting pure emotional service. Then and then we have an access to the divine knowledge. Bhagvat-tattva-vijyanam-mukta-sakasya-jayate. That will make us liberated. And in liberated state, parabhakti begins. So at that time, you would not have any doubts in your mind. No radhaya-grandhis will be there. You know? And then there is no karma-bandha. Hence, you will be able to do spontaneous devotional service. You know? Because now you know your reality and Ishvara, the controller, is within yours. So you'll be able to see the self who is giving you as the master, is the super soul, will be the real cause in you who is allowing you to perform in this world. So this is the effect of transcendental energy. You are fighting with Maya. So in Raghavendra Bhakti there won't be any Maya. Otherwise, obstacles will be there, impediments will be there. Impediments are caused by anarthas. Impediments are caused by anarthas. As long as Duryodhan has a lot of anarthas, he was a political man. Right? But just like politics makes so much somersault, because others similarly are also doing. So politicians are always fearful. Politicians are always fearful. And Duryodhana is fearful. He's not an exception. He was never in mode of goodness. Yeah, his blind father was calling him Suyodhana. Not looking.
During forest period, Lord Krishna asked Yudhishthira Maharaj to kill a lion. At a time also he was denying, you know, like, Aswatthama died.
On his own he did not want. But he understood this is the command of Krishna. He liked.
There is also spiritual politics?
Huh?
Spiritual politics like Krishna?
No, there is no politics. Krishna wants to fulfill his desire by hook or crook. For him, there is no politics. Do you think he is teaching us politics? Does surrender require any politics? All the politics will be subsiding in surrendering to Krishna. He is asking us to surrender. Sarva dharmana parityaja. Give up all political parties and just surrender to me. There is nothing like spiritual politics. More and more surrender is required. If Chandravali is in opposition, but she is not in opposition. She is increasing Radharani's surrender to Lord Krishna's desire so much. Such an extent you will never see. That's why Radharani comes on the topmost level of Bhakti. This desires of Lord Krishna to increase the loving exchange is more intensified. After all, love is the victory. The spiritual love has to be so much saturated. At such an extent of surrender that Radharani shows us. Yes.
Dronacharya inherited a lot. He got a part of Drupada's kingdom. So does he still remain a Brahmana or does he become a Kshatriya?
he can change into Brahmana again wherever he wants. That's not important. He chose to fight and lay his life for Krishna's desire. Even in opposition, just like Bhima chose to fight against Krishna and laid his life. And the way Krishna planned, he never opposed. On his own, he could have opposed if he would have a choice. But a pure devotee, soul surrender, will accept Krishna's choice. Right?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, in the third passage,
speak in the mic, please.
Hare Krishna.
In the third text of passage described Dronacharya had some political quarrel with King Drupada. Yeah. What was the quarrel?
What was the you can tell. What was the quarrel about?
The outcome was
Mike, Michael, or Buri Jan's book. Yeah. So, Buri Jan's explaining this quarrel in his book, in his commentary. He said that Dronacharya and Drupada were friends as children. And Drupada had said, if you bring in a kingdom, I'll give half to you. And Dronacharya, Drupada got a kingdom, and later on Dronacharya said, it's my half. And Drupada kicked him out. So then Dronacharya said, I'm going to take it by force. So first, the sons of Dhritarashtra went to try and get this half of the kingdom, and they came back, failed. They came back. And then Mabandha was in, and they brought back Drupada. And they forced him to give up half.
Then Drupada also asked that his son should be taught by him. Actually, his son is going to kill him. But that is Krishna's desire. And Dronacharya accepted to teach him. Can somebody teach an enemy how to kill him? That is, there is more spiritual strength there rather than the politics. There's more spiritual strength and understanding the desire of law. So therefore, Dronacharya was understanding the Supreme Personality of God in Lord Shri Krishna's plan.
And that's one of the ways that Duryodhana felt a little burned by the Pandavas, because somehow or other they were always coming out on top, making them look like a bunch of fools, basically speaking. And he was so irreverent that he was actually sarcastic. So I think he used also the word sarcastic.
Yeah.
Insulting to his own spiritual master, Dronacharya.
As if he was partial.
Not only as if he was partial, but as if he wasn't, good enough in the way he was speaking to him. He wasn't up to the mark. It was very insulting.
And the childhood, the Kauravas were always, inferior in front of the divine and divinity inherited by these five Pandavas, they were very much, even though fair, but Duryodhana had a special grudge with Bhima. And because Bhima was Pandava, he had grudge with everybody. The center of Bhima's enviousness, Duryodhana's enviousness, is Bhima. Right? And Duryodhana was afraid of Bhima. And when Bhima took up the vow to smash that thigh that he insulted Draupadi, then Bhima said, "I'm going to crush that." That was a sure death. And Bhima's revenge is also very famous, equal. That's all mode of Rajogun. But they kept in mind Krishna during all these vows and counter actions that they had to take. So therefore, without mercy of Krishna, Bhima would not have been able to fulfill the desire to smash the thigh. Krishna has so. Bhima was not aware of that. Krishna, his will is to be carried out. If living entities are not going to carry out his will, then he will himself or appoints Maya to carry out. His will be carried out. Because he is the Lord and Master, the Supreme Personality of God. He doesn't have to play politics. He doesn't play politics. He simply executes his will. His desire is going to fulfill. For him, there is nothing to do. Nachatasya karanam karam chavidyate. Therefore, there is nobody equal or greater than him. So he doesn't have to worry to play politics like Duryodhana. Krishna doesn't teach us even this politics. In fact, he is teaching us to surrender to his will. But we must know what is his desire. So therefore we have to have spiritual master. If Dronacharya is the spiritual master of both the Pandavas and Kauravas, then Dronacharya is accepting the will and he is trying to fight is a show, but he is already surrendered to Krishna's desire and he will lay his life. Krishna doesn't play politics at all, but Duryodhana is getting hard lessons after Dronacharya dies, after Karna dies, and after Bhishma Pitama dies. Still, he wants to fight. He has to come on his own. And Lord Krishna is carrying out his desire. He is instructing, being aware to meet him. What is there a big politics? Oh, he is the cause for politics. Then he told Bhima to go in front of Gandhari covering his lower parts.
Duryodhana,
yeah. In front of, right? Krishna told Duryodhana. So on. And that was a moral instruction anyway. Was it a moral politics? There's no morality in the politics. It's always immoral. Immoral paran. Politics does not can be divided into moral politics or immoral politics. Politics is politics. It's a war of false egos. Some interprets that Krishna teaches us politics. Some say that. If he is teaching politics, then do you think we'll be able to surrender to him? It will be a great excuse. You taught us politics, now you tell me to surrender to you? You can't surrender to Krishna by making politics. Can you?
Maharaj, you mentioned impediments. Maharaj, you mentioned impediments are a result of anarthas. Oh, is that always the case?
Mm-hmm.
Impediments being related to anarthas. Is that always the case? Any impediments that we get in Krishna consciousness are always due to anarthas, or can there be other causes?
The modes are causes of the anarthas. Everything in the material life is controlled by three modes, isn't it? Alright. Even sattva-guna. If somebody Now, Satguru is supposed to yield knowledge and happiness. But knowledge is not a prerequisite for pure devotional service. Suppose if you choose to be in mode of goodness, like an ideal Brahman, but if you are bereft of devotional service, then that mode of goodness will take you where? It will keep you in the material world, it will take you only up to Swargaloka. But evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha, you have to execute the principles of devotional service in mode of goodness. So, mode of goodness alone is not enough. It's an impediment. If you do not know devotional service to be continued, then mode of goodness itself becomes impediment. It also gives you hope for happiness. And this happiness, because the mode of goodness is material, so therefore you also anticipate material happiness. And you will strive for material happiness. Even up to Swargaloka. Kshine punya marti loke vishanti. So, mode of goodness is a platform that is required to contemplate on spiritual. Sattvavalambi parasattvam visuddhasattvam govindamadhi purushattvam. We have to cultivate mode of goodness, but it's not in end in itself. There's a medium we have to minimum observe. That's why four regulative principles are there that will keep us in mode of goodness. If we really, you know, follow all of all four very, very scrutinizing. But then devotional service chanting, you have to continue that more. So avalamban is there because our constitution of the body is have to be brought in most of the mode of goodness. Otherwise it is mixed passion and ignorance, mostly. So, because chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is so powerful that it surpasses the three modes. So Kam Se Kam, if we are in mode of ignorance and passion, that will be subside. Tada rajastamo bhava kamalo bhadayasche cheta eta pranavitam sthitam sattve prasidati. It is because of transcendental nature of the holy name that it will bring us from the mode of ignorance and passion to stabilize us in the mode of goodness. But that is not an end in itself. Therefore, it has to be furthered up that evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yoga bhagavat tattva vijnana. That is important. You can't realize the absolute truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless and until you practice of chanting in mode of goodness. Right? That is the stage. Most of the pious people, they do not know anything about devotional service, ends up there in the mode of goodness. oh, you don't have to lie, you don't have to hurt anybody's feelings, oh, you this. Yeah, it is just like Arjuna's arguments. They were in mode of goodness, but Krishna says, you are a fool, number one. Asocha nandvasochasto. What he was not thinking, spiritual, which is higher than mode of goodness. So, he was simply lamenting on the product of this material modes, that is the body. But he was not thinking spiritually at all. For the upliftment of the spirit soul who is dwelling within the body. He was neglecting the aspect of the spirituality. So morality is only based on mode of goodness. But that is also called foolish piety, because higher than mode of goodness is transcendental. That is our real nature. Somehow or another, the soul has to be educated about the nature of the soul. That's why chanting is extremely important to keep him awake, that he does not sleep.
Yeah, it is a little profound.